Welcome to the Hot Stove Society Radio Show on Cairo Radio. This is Chef Tom Douglas, owner of a few joints around town, and just recently announced the moving of Sirius Pie downtown around the corner to the Dahlia Baker space, half of it anyway, and then the other half is going to become an expanded Dahlia Bakery. Excited about that move. And, of course, we have Sirius Takeout in Ballard and our little combination event that's happening in the north end of the Pike Place Market, our Seat Down Rub Shack Edda's Combo, outdoor dining and indoor dining and all sorts of fun, Fish Shack. So that's who I am. Chef in the Chapeau is joining me from the fabulous Madison Valley. Hi, Chef.
Yes, sir. I am Terry Roth, your other chef in hat, owner of Luc in Madison Valley, where to go is the word of the week and the word of the year, probably.
Probably.
To go. And now with possibilities of reopening maybe in the next few weeks for at least some seating. So looking towards that. And this week finishing the vegetarian box menu. And next week we're doing a box for St. Patty's Day because we're going to celebrate that brisket. I love brisket.
Ours are in.
I love myself a good boiled brisket. So we're going to do a boiled brisket next week and in a box to go and check it out. Go to luke2go.com.
I have 15 briskets being corned right now in my walk-in refrigerator at the at our warehouse site, 52nd 14th. And we've had them in now for 4 days. And we're going to leave them corning for 7 days. And then they'll be ready to be pulled out, rinsed, and roasted for our corned beef sandwich pop-up that's happening next week, too. So very exciting times for corned beef. We have a big show today, Chef. It's jam-packed. You know, it's International Women's Week, and we have a great lineup of successful and talented guests today. Lindsay Carter is here with her new book, Why We Cook. More than 100 restaurateurs, activists, food writers, professional chefs, and home cooks, all changing the world of food. Our goal, our good friend Holly Smith, who used to be my sous chef years and years ago from Cafe Juanita, is going to join us for a bit. She's a James Beard Award winner. Part three of questions for TD is coming up. I'm not sure why we need to go back to those, but apparently you haven't heard enough yet, Amy?
Let me help you, Tom. You were very slow last week at answering the question.
Well, I mean, give me a break. You have if you're going to ask a question, you should be willing to listen to the answer.
I'm with you.
Yeah, exactly. Jennifer Shea is here. She's the owner of Trophy Cupcakes and a former Palace Kitchen employee. She's a lifelong baker and a party maker. I guess that's what cupcake bakers do. They make parties. They're a party in a box. And Chef Tamara Murphy from one of my favorite restaurants in all of Seattle, Terra Plata, up on Capitol Hill, is here to talk about Seattle restaurant scene, her new restaurant, and of course she is also a James Beard Award winner. And to wrap up the show today, we're going to have our Rub With Love Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge that, as we always do, you could win a big prize of Rub With Love, and hopefully Chef Terry will have to pay to have it shipped. That's always my goal.
Chef? We'll see. I feel good today.
Okay, so here's the thing. This is a COVID-free zone for 2 hours. We like that. We like that we can bring you a little bit of entertainment. I'm going to tell you what my favorite taste of the week was because it is, I mean, I've had a lot of good tastes this week because I've been dining out again, whereas everybody's reopened, so I've been dining in other people's restaurants again, so a lot of good tastes. But I was reminded last night, I had broke my finger, and I was sitting home, and I was soaking my finger in hydrogen peroxide. And because it's, it's a pretty nasty break, 20 stitches, all that kind of stuff. And while I was there, I was hungry. It was early, though. And so I just thought, I'm going to raid my freezer. You know, it's still full of deliciousness that's been made over the last few months. And I still have 4 pints of my smoked brisket chili that I made. And then Jackie and I, the night before, Jackie had made a delicious pot of her beans that she grew this summer at the farm and then shucked this fall after they were dry. You know, she sits and watches her favorite TV shows, and all she does is shuck beans while she's watching her show. So we end up with all these beans, and I've never been a bean guy, but I'm kind of coming around. If you've listened to this show, you've heard me lament the tragedy of what dry beans are in life, and I am coming around, finally. I mean, there's some things that are just never going to happen, like cottage cheese, but dried beans. I had them last night. I added them to my chili. I had some of the Fuji Bakery white bread. Chef, have you tried that yet down there on Elliott Avenue? There's a little beige and pink paint bakery called Fuji Bakery. And they make a classic kind of Japanese white sandwich bread. And I happened to have a sandwich from there the other day, and I had a half a loaf of bread. And I had that. It's kind of like Texas toast with my smoked brisket and bean chili.
Wow.
And it was very, very nice to sit there with my finger in a jar of hydrogen peroxide and eat this delicious meal from my freezer. How about you? What's your taste of the week? You have 2 whole minutes.
Well, Kathy makes a wonderful roasted beet salad with toasted walnut, crumbled goat cheese, very simple arugula. She's always a healthy eater. And some extra virgin olive oil put right on top at the last minute. And it just reminded me, you know, my wife is a great cook, and she cooks a lot of dinners and lunches and breakfast. So, you know, it's an honor week and honor. It's an honor every time to sit down and have someone else cook. Mm-hmm. But when she cooks, because she's a very big gourmand, I think that's why she married a chef. She loves to eat good food, and she's not going to give up. Like sometimes she'd be like waiting another 5 minutes to sit down, even though she's hungry, to make sure that those walnuts are roasted correctly and this and that. She's definitely she loves good attention to good detail. So good for her. And I want to give her a salute to that and to a wonderful beet salad. That's a great taste of the week for me.
That sounds like a fun wintertime salad to have right now, because beets winter over beautifully and so delicious. I am reminded when you said blue cheese, I ordered from my friends at Zingerman's in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I ordered a box of different things. They had some sale going on, so I ordered a bunch of little stuff. And one of them was a little wedge of the Colston Bassett Stilton from Neil's Yard in London. Oh, it was such a good blue. I mean, it's just really tasty. Nice treat.
Yeah, I love Stilton. A good Stilton is so delicious.
Yes, indeed. Okay, coming up, Lindsay Gardner is here with her stunning new book, Why We Cook. And then, Chef, next week, and Amy, our producer, next week, I'd like to, now that the governor has given us, or is going to give us permission on the 22nd to kind of reopen to 50%, which, believe me, there's plenty of restaurants out there that are doing 50% already.
Right.
I'd like to talk about, you and I, talk about as restaurateurs with lots and lots of experience, what it takes to reopen. Because I think there's this perception out there that you can just turn on the faucet, okay, the governor says go, go. And it's just so unrealistic for a long-term business plan. Because, you know, the idea isn't to reopen and then have to close again. The idea is to get open with a sustainable business. Okay, up next, Lindsay Gardner on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. It's the Hot Stove Society Show. Welcome back. It's the Hot Stove Society Show. I'm Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotiro, the chef in the hat.
And we have we are celebrating Women in Food, Women in Restaurants Week right now, all show long. Excited about that. I got a lot of friends coming on, but somebody I don't know, and I'm interested in chatting with her because she has a new book out called Why We Cook, Women on Food, Identity, and Connection. And I think that's interesting because I always think of women being totally connected. My wife is so connected through our restaurants and me and, you know, having a kid and being a mom and, you know, all the different things that being a farmer, all the different things that food represents to her. It never occurs to me sometimes that some people feel disconnected because of for this or that. So I'm looking forward to chatting with Lindsay. Sean, do we have Lindsay on the line? We certainly do. Hi, Lindsay. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us about your new book, Why We Cook, and what's important about it, why you sat down to write it, and all the things that we're going to learn today.
Sure, absolutely. So Why We Cook is an illustrated collection of recipes, essays, profiles, and reflections that all explore the intersection of food and feminism. So it features 112 women in food, from food writers and professional chefs to restaurateurs and activists, and also features the thoughts and perspectives of home cooks. And then, of course, the whole thing is completely illustrated. So my primary job in life is that I'm an artist and illustrator, but I'm also a home cook myself and a mom. I have two young daughters, and that was really sort of where the inspiration for the book came from on my end.
It's so important. My daughter just joined our company as our legal counsel, and women in food seems like such a natural to me. I'm actually very interested in reading some of these essays because sometimes I come at it from a point of ignorance. I don't know why people get into doing what they do, right? And it's so I find it fascinating sometimes when people make that choice, especially the restaurant business, which is it's a tough business for anybody. I don't care if you're women, man, whatever. So what were some of the most interesting facts and stories that you came across as far as why women are engaged in the food scene?
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm not part of the culinary world, and I think that gave me kind of an interesting perspective in going about researching and curating who was part of the book. I started getting really interested in it when I realized as a young mom that I was spending more and more time in the kitchen and sort of questioning my own relationship to cooking, and quickly started researching and expanding my questions about what it meant to me in my own life. And one of the things that I learned when I did that was that women represent, and this is probably something you're well aware of, but women represent 49% of food industry jobs, but only 23% of head chefs and head cook positions. And that number is even lower for women of color and LGBTQ. So it was really important to me once I started actually learning about how women have been underrepresented in the food industry over time, even though we've had, of course, a primary role in kitchens for as long as human history, that I start investigating and understanding the stories of so many women who are actually out there working in the industry. So I started reaching out to first in my circles and my own community. And at the time I was living in the Bay Area. And then it was really an amazing process because all these conversations just naturally unfolded. So one person that I would talk to would introduce me to another person. I also had the luck of being able to attend a couple of great events in the Bay Area, one with La Cocina, which is a wonderful organization there, and also at CIA Copia in Napa, and heard some really inspiring women in food speak and read some writing they had done. And a couple of those people are part of the book now. Mm-hmm. So the research process was also really gratifying and fulfilling. I felt so welcomed by everyone I talked to. The women that are included in the book were so completely generous and warm and wanted to have this conversation and were enthused about having this conversation. And I really think about the book as it came together as sort of a conversation in itself, and the conversation is ongoing, which is really exciting.
So you have such great contributors. You know, I've eaten at many of these restaurants. Of course, our locally, Renee Erickson is in the book. Amanda Cohen from Dirt Candy. Dory Greenspan, who's been to here at the Hot Stove Society. Autumn Martin, certainly a pastry chef here in town, very famous from her role as getting Theo Chocolate up and running. And so many more. What was a surprise? How do women decide to get in or get out of the chef business? Could you put together any sort of reasoning? Is it just opportunity, or is there some way that we could make women feel more comfortable or get them more into the leadership roles in the restaurant business?
Well, I think that's an answer. I mean, that answer is probably a pretty complex number of different factors that go into that. But I think that you make a good point that, you know, when we don't see ourselves in leadership positions, then those paths to those leadership positions are harder and harder to get to. And that's true for anyone. I think that obviously there have been a number of different writing and media coverage of some of the many obstacles that women, especially women of color, have faced in the food industry over time, especially when Me Too was started to get a lot of coverage around 2017. I think that that is starting to change. I think there's still a long way to go, or at least my perception from making this book is that there's still a long way to go to achieving gender parity and safe and inclusive workplaces in food. But the women included in Why We Cook represent so much of the exciting change that is happening in the food world. And hearing their stories and listening to them is a great place to start.
I'm not sure where to go when we talk about financing and things like that, because that's often what gets in the way, both in the BIPOC situation where it's just hard to get a reasonable funding for a business, and also the attention that needs to be had to teach how businesses run. So it's a tough road for everybody.
It's definitely been a challenging year, obviously, with the pandemic. And I think it's been really interesting from my perspective to see how creative and dynamic a lot of the women that I started getting to know in my research have been, and, you know, in terms of adapting their business models and changing what they're doing, and also continuing to be strong and supportive in working in their communities. Like, I know a lot of the chefs that I have in the book, like Reem Asil in Oakland, has been literally feeding her community from one of her restaurants. There's so much generosity that has come out of this challenging moment. And I think that does speak to sort of the inclusive vision that the women in the book really are working to create.
The book is called Why We Cook, Women on Food, Identity, and Connection. And the art is all by Lindsay, our guest here today. And, of course, the book is all by you. But I want to thank you for your time. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. I can't wait to go get a copy personally. I don't know why where ours ended up. Amy, did you steal it?
I'm going to steal it.
Yes. Well, I hope you enjoy it when you do. And if people want to find it, they can go to whywecookbook.com or find me on Instagram at Lindsay Gardner Art. And that's Lindsay with an A.
Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, Lindsay Gardner.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Lindsay, for sharing some time with us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
Coming up next, Holly Smith is here, one of my favorite chefs in all of the world, because we used to work together many, many years ago at the beginning of the Dahlia Lounge. Chef, when was the last time you went over to Cafe Juanita and enjoyed some of Holly's cooking?
Ooh, it's been a couple of years. Definitely not in the last year. Uh-huh. But I follow what Holly is doing on her site. She's doing a fantastic job. I can't wait to congratulate her on how creative she has been. And I think it looks really fantastic. The box she does to go. Can't wait to hear her story.
All right. That's Holly Smith coming up here from Cafe Juanita. It's the Hot Stove Society Show on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. Hey, Chef and the Chapeau, guess who we have on the line?
I believe I do know. I do know. All the way from Kirkland, Washington.
I prefer to call it Juanita. I think, Holly, do people in Juanita think of themselves as Juanitans or Kirklanders?
Oh, I think Kirklanders, but I don't know, Tom.
Okay.
I don't know if I know many Juanitans. I like that, though.
It sounds like they're from outer space. Chef Holly Smith is joining us from Cafe Juanita over there on the east side. Is it really true you've been open now since 2000?
Yes, I think that's 21 years.
Holy
smokes. Almost.
Wow.
We're a moment away. Yeah, we had our 20th anniversary right after it closed down for pandemic.
You know, the good news is you're really old. The sad news is I'm that much older.
Exactly. It's always a good marker when someone's in front of you.
Exactly. Yeah. And when they're not, you know that something horribly went wrong. Holly, it's International Women's Week, and we're having all women chefs on the show today. And so we thought we would just call, and you've been doing such a good job of morphing your business into something that can handle the COVID era that we're in. Tell us about, how you kind of made the switch over and what your plans are for when things come back.
Okay. Thanks, Tom. A few weeks before the real closed down, which actually was exactly a year to today for us. Mm-hmm. I believed a close down would happen at some point. I just felt it in my bones. So I started to think about what I would be comfortable with people taking away, right? And I knew I didn't want a line that was making food that would then degrade over time. So we focused on filled pasta, fresh pasta, sugos, things like that. And the first week really was then what's in the walk-in. I'm sure, you know, what we were all faced with, right? Yeah. And so, you know, the funny thing is I tried to sell a veal chop, just, you know, as if I was your butcher. And I don't think any sold. And then we started roasting the veal chops and kind of, you know, making, you know, sending you with something to reheat that was exactly what I would have sold you, in-house. And that took off. And people said, that was easy. I could do that. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've spent the last year, I think about you almost every time, Tom, because I worked for you, you know, when we were both, you know,
way back when.
And yeah. And, you were the first chef owner I'd worked for. So you were the first person that came and shopped for a dinner party in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I do it at home. And you were good. You didn't really take our prep, but you took our ingredients, you know, and it was brilliant. And I do it to this day. And so I've tried to, think about, you know, what things that I would do that with, you know, in a pinch, and give that to the guests. And, It's worked really well. It's worked really well. So, on looking forward, and I am doing that a lot, this week in particular, I think I feel more optimistic than I have in a while. I think we're going to come back, strong. I feel pretty comfortable with that. I don't think that whether it's guidelines that have us at an X or Y capacity, or just people still feeling a little apprehensive for indoor. I don't expect that we're going to be as busy for, you know, the first 6 months or something. But I think we're going to come back in with a stronger emphasis on our tasting menu and just follow what guests were already telling us for the 14 months or so before everything shut us down.
Yeah, it's a crazy time. Chef Terry.
Yes, I think I've been following you, Holly, on your website, and I think you do a fantastic job. I think what you've pivoted to and what you just explained is definitely true. I look at, like everybody else, I look at a lot of websites, and you do a fantastic job at creating and at making sure that the attention is given to details in terms of, can I do this at home? Is it simple enough for people to love and buy in volume and so on and so forth? Very well thought of. Congratulations to you.
Thank you. It's, you know, I think we've always been in the business of problem solving, and so the thing that I just got a really, nice email, from Stephanie Kimmel from Marche in Oregon and kind of saying, what are you doing? We've been, you know, I think she gets the newsletter, and in responding to her, I realized that what's been most important to me is it's the only way I know how to move personally. So this felt good for us was that I'm still the same restaurant. It's a little different, but I'm not saying I'm going to reinvent myself as something, you know, I'm going to do Thai food for a year, you know, or something. And I don't know. And then come back and remember me and see me. And we have had a lot of guests that have reached out and said, you were on our list. You know, we were going to celebrate our anniversary in, you know, April 2000, you know, we're going to come and they've tried us. We've made new friends. And I feel like at least I'm showing as close as I can who I am.
Right.
You know, and so I think it keeps expectations a little safer for pickup. And hopefully maybe it's a little bit of a selling point later. We've built some goodwill with people.
Holly, let's talk about you as a woman, if you don't mind, for a bit, since it's International Women's Week, and you as a woman in the restaurant business. Do you feel at some point that things changed and it was a more hospitable environment for women? Do you feel like it still has a lot of work to do? Where do you stand with women in restaurants right now?
You know, I just got asked by someone the other day. We spent the last, like, 2 years at least without any engineering with an all-female line, hotline. Mm-hmm. There was a gentleman on desserts and on salads. And people kept coming up because we're standing in the middle of the kitchen, dining room, basically, right? And asked, you know, did you do that on purpose? No. So I have seen more candidates, which makes me feel like something positive is happening. I think one thing, you know, Tom, do you remember Ingrid? We worked with a chef together named Ingrid. Incredibly talented. But she, you know, and you watched her exit the industry right as she was sous chef, chefing at two different places, Stars and Dahlia, to have a baby, you know, and that, what I have been consciously thinking of is how do I myself, but as an industry in general, make it easier, you know, how do we make our industry more flexible so that mothers and fathers can take enough time at home, you know, so that, I mean, I don't really, it's not, hopefully it's not just a woman's issue, you know. My current chef de cuisine, Lauren, has had two babies while working for me. And somehow, you know, that, I think we can build on our experience there, with welcoming new people in the kitchen. But I think that, that overall work-life balance is almost, you know, has historically been, a taboo subject, I think, in kitchens in particular, because it's hard to achieve. We need to find a way. I'm trying to figure out a way moving forward that my kitchen can age, and I can afford for them. Continue to age and that we can support them. And cause I know that when I keep staff, we get better. The consistency, you know, you keep the right team and they continue to grow together.
Absolutely. Our guest has been Holly Smith of Cafe Juanita. She opened Cafe Juanita in 2000, is continuing the process of doing to-go and getting ready for back indoor dining. If you want to check her out, go to her website or Instagram at Cafe Juanita Wa, and you'll find out all about it. Up next, Amy, what do we got next? Questions for me, right?
We do. You're up next.
I'm sick of those questions on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. This is Tom Douglas and Chef Terry, the chef in the chapeau. Amy asked you 43 questions 2 weeks ago on this show, and you answered them all in 7 minutes or 8 minutes, whatever it was. And she's expecting the same from me, and it's just not working out that way.
She was last week, but we found out last week that 5 questions in 8 minutes is about what you can answer.
I know.
It was 11, to be exact.
It's not like every question doesn't have a story, so I'm sorry that you have no life experiences to give, Chef. But
people want to know you more.
I'm okay with it because the stories are always good, Tom. You're a great storyteller.
It's Tom and Terry in the Hot Stove Society Kitchen. Okay, Amy, our producer, what up?
Okay, well, you finished 11 questions last time, so we'll get these going today. Okay, what's the most adventurous thing you've done in your life?
In the kitchen or in my whole life?
Life.
Oh, I bet Chef Terry would agree with this. Having children is really probably the most adventurous thing.
I was waiting for that one.
What don't you think, Chef?
Especially when you have new restaurants at the same time. Oh,
yeah, you know, I just became a grandfather this last week, and it started making me think back to when we opened Dahlia in November of 89, and Loretta was born in March of 90. And so for those 5 months of our first opening, when it was such a traumatic, horrible, it looked like we were going to go out of business every minute of every day, stressful, pregnant, remodeling our house, the whole thing. That's the biggest adventure I've ever been on. Yeah, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's definitely a very stressful time. And most importantly, like you said, you have a restaurant, you don't even know if you're going to make it. You have new kids you don't know how to deal with because you've never had a baby before.
Right.
I mean, all those different things come into play. You have a wife that's exhausted and working day in, day out with the kid. You come home.
And working at the restaurant,
and then you come home and she hands you the baby going, it's your turn.
Yeah.
It's midnight, and you're like, okay, great. I guess I'll sleep another life.
It was. I mean, it was traumatic. And so I was just thinking about that when, you know, right now I can't even hold the baby because of COVID. I've got to see it for a minute. But, yeah, it's just a crazy thing, this baby thing.
Okay. What's your pet peeve besides the segment?
This segment's a pretty good pet peeve of mine. But since Terry did it, I feel like I have to follow through. So my pet peeve is being misquoted in the press, where they only give half the story. And they don't really give the context. And I think that happens to everybody. And so I think that's, it's not just a me thing. I think that's just, and when they use cheap headlines, I hate cheap headlines.
Yeah. What's talent you wish you had?
See, you're not even listening to my answers.
I'm
you're just
going.
Struggling to We're get rolling. through the questions.
We're rolling 5 minutes.
Okay. So what's your question?
What's a talent you wish you had?
I wish that I was more thoughtful. I think that I'm thoughtful, and then I think that my conversational style sometimes hurts people's feelings, and I don't like when I hurt people's feelings.
I think that I've known you for 15 years, and you are very thoughtful.
But you know what I'm saying?
It's
sometimes I say things that I don't realize. Like I tell half a joke, and people don't know that I'm joking, and then they get upset at me or something.
Maybe
like
you're just not funny.
I'm just not funny, so they got upset because of the bad
you're
joke.
You're very thoughtful.
You're very thoughtful. You may not be funny.
What's your guilty pleasure?
Oh, trashy food.
Yeah.
And we just did this. When is our coconut prawn thing going to show?
Well,
you know?
We taped it yesterday, so it should be next week.
Okay. So, Terry, I do these evening spots, and I have for 8 to 10 years, whatever it's been. And so yesterday we did trashy coconut prawns for the evening video. And so I think my guilty pleasure is some of these little trashy foods like that.
Yeah.
The thing is, you can make them untrashy so easy. Like we did that beautiful green papaya salad with fresh Thai basil and mint, bean sprouts and Napa cabbage. And all of a sudden you got this beautiful, healthy salad and lime juice and fish sauce and deliciousness. And then you put those trashy coconut prawns on top and it's so good.
That sounds
such
good.
Such a nice combo. And then how about the homemade black bean sauce that went
that
with it?
That was delicious.
That was delicious.
I can't wait for that segment.
And a mango sweet chili sauce.
Wow. That sounds good. Sounds actually really fresh.
It is fresh. Like me.
And natural.
As a daisy.
Beautiful.
All right, Daisy. How do you start your day?
How do I start my day? I put a pot of water on and I make pour over coffee, and I have for as long as I can remember. And my first thing to do before I even take a sip myself, although as I've gotten older, I get up much earlier and my wife hasn't followed suit. So used to be that first thing I would do is walk a cup of coffee into her in bed and she would sit there and blah, blah, blah. And now that I'm older, I'm up like 3 hours before her. So I'm totally done with my coffee before she even has a cup.
So do you make her breakfast?
She doesn't eat breakfast like that. I make myself breakfast.
Yeah.
And you know what I had yesterday that was so good?
What?
Wendy, our old baker, Wendy Shearer. She's been making the Brave Forest pretzels and the Dahlia Bakery English muffins as kind of a little side business. And so Amy went and picked up, we all ordered from her, and Amy went and picked up a bunch of them. Ate my last of my 12 English muffins yesterday with a big slab. There's a local peanut butter company called CB Nuts, and they make what they call a crunchy, like a creamy crunch, not totally crunchy, but a crunchy peanut butter with sea salt.
Yum!
And that on a well toasted. I hate raw English muffins. I like them super brown, super toasted, and that with a little bit of butter and a big swath of crunchy sea salt peanut butter from CB Nuts.
Wow.
Woo! Woo!
Sounds delicious.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, Wendy's, those are delicious. That's Patch Pocket Productions where you can order them.
Right. If you want to order, you can. Yeah. If you love our English muffins at the Dahlia. And I know people that came here and sat in the audience always had a breakfast sandwich on one of those English muffins. Yeah. She's making. Say it again. Patch Pocket
Productions. And you can order through her Instagram page. I still have two more in my freezer.
Do you?
Maybe I'll
I still have pretzels left.
Oh, I have two pretzels too. If you could switch lives with one person for a day, who would it be?
That's a tough one. And at what point in their life would you switch?
You can pick.
I think I would switch with Jacques Pepin, and I would be the White House chef for John F. Kennedy.
Ooh, fun.
Yeah.
How about that?
That is fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Me, I would want If I had to choose, I would want to be Julia Child on her first cooking show live.
It looks crazy. Some of the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, you have this whole crew that's hiding behind the table and your stuff as she cooks.
I know, because you know, if you see the pictures of her original production, there's like four people. Like, you look at her over the kitchen counter, and she's standing there, and from the waist up, you see her. But behind the counter, there's four people on the ground kind of sitting around her legs. Can you imagine trying to move or reach for something in the fridge? Or, and then in the fridge, when she would open the fridge, somebody would hand something to her through the back of the fridge.
Yeah, that would be funny. So cool to do that show. Yeah, exactly.
I wonder how many fingers were accidentally stepped on.
Yeah, who knows? All right, up next, Dana Huang is here. She's going to be talking about what she's up to these days. It's International Women's Week, and we're celebrating some women chefs around the Northwest. We'll be right back on Cairo Radio. It's the Hot Stove Society Show, 97.3 FM. Welcome back to the Hot Stove Society Show on Cairo. Tom Douglas is here in the house here at the Hot Stove. If you ever want to take a virtual class or keep an eye on when we reopen for in-person classes, just go to hotstovesociety.com and see what we're doing. Chef.
And I'm Terry Rotiro, the chef in a hat, live from Madison Valley and owner of Luc in Madison Valley, 28 and Madison. And open Wednesday through Saturday, and we do to-go mostly, as actually only right now. And, you know, this week we have a vegetarian menu box along with our a la carte and cocktails and everything. And next week we're working on our St. Patty's Day menu box.
Yay!
A four-course St. Patty's Day menu for $200. Take it home and enjoy the pleasure of beautiful corned beef, potato, onions, carrots, the beautiful shebang, smoked salmon for starter, and so on and so forth.
All right. Amy, we have Chef Dana Huang on the line. Dana is one of my favorite chefs in all of the Northwest. Mm-hmm. I met her when she was the chef at Peony Modern Kitchen in Bellevue. She has moved on from there, but she is just a dynamo in the kitchen. Welcome to the show, Dana.
Good morning, Dana.
Oh, hi, Tom. Hi, Gary.
I'm glad.
Sorry, lost the connection for a while.
I'm glad. How are you guys? I'm glad we found you. We are good. Dana, tell us about modern Chinese food. And is there such a thing? Is it okay in the category? I know I get away with doing things as an American chef that other people find non-traditionalist and crazy. But you, when I was eating your foods when you were cooking over in Bellevue, you are very comfortable taking liberties with food and kind of putting your own spin on it.
Thank you for having me today. Mm-hmm. Quick question. So for me, I've been travel everywhere, and it's always about food. Mm-hmm. And that attract me. What should I do? Because I might never go back to the same place that I've been travel. So I take lots of pictures and then come back home, and then, you know, I review over and over, and that makes me like, oh, I always want to do that, make something new and try to catch up with what I have taste.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, I'm sorry. Getting a little nervous here.
No, that's, I guess that's exactly the question I'm asking, because in a lot of cultures, I find that is not an acceptable thing to kind of think about a classic dish and then make the changes to it. There's more pressure to not change it than there is to make a fun, modern twist to it. So I always love that about your cooking.
Mm-hmm. So every travel I went, my experience, I see family, friends, and gathering together, it's all about food. Mm-hmm. And that's happiness. That's all happiness. And I guess that's what everyone enjoying. Mm-hmm. So for me, before I come be a chef, I just love cooking already. And then after I come be a chef, and I just learn how to become confidence and having the creating, learn how to creating positive relationship to make my right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I see people enjoy my food, it just makes me really happy.
Yeah, I know it does. You have the best smile.
Thank you.
I think that food is definitely the only language that we don't have to speak in order to be very happy having it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Go around the world. You can go around the world without talking and still have fabulous meal all around the world with smiles on people's face.
I agree. And that's what drives me, my passion to do more new dishes for new happiness.
If you had to pick one dish, Dana, that you've created in the past, what would you tell people your favorite dishes right now?
My favorite dishes is vegetables, because healthy and fresh. And I'd like to do like Asian, because Asian people don't really do much salad dishes.
Mm-hmm.
So I like to do like cucumber salad with fresh ingredients, kind of citrus with vinegar,
mm-hmm.
and some hot chili oil.
Love that.
That's my favorite dishes.
Yeah. Your smashed cucumbers that I had were so delicious. I still steal that idea, and I make those at home. When are you going to write a book so that I don't have to steal from everybody else? I can just read out of your book.
I need your help to write a book.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah. For those of you who never were, when Dana was at Peony Restaurant, who never had a chance to get over there, there was just some dishes there that really were very impressive, including the Peking, or version of Peking duck with the burnt kind of bruleed lemons, and just your crazy spicy shrimp dumplings that you did at Dumpling Fest with us.
Tiger prawn mm-hmm. dumplings.
Oh, my God. They burnt my face
thank
off.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It had
thank
a spinach
you.
Wrap. It was so cool.
I know, exactly.
So
much good stuff. I look forward in celebrating this whole week and thinking about all the women chefs around our area. But your name came up when Amy and I were talking yesterday about who some of the influences on my cooking. And so that are women. And we've already had Holly Smith on. We have you and... And another one of my favorites, Tamara Murphy, is going to be joining us later in the show. So, Dana Huang, thank you so much. And I can't wait to find out where you land. I'm going to be there in a heartbeat.
I can't wait.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Terry.
All right. Up next, Jennifer Shea is going to join us from Trophy Cupcakes, talk about all the party in a box that she can handle. On Cairo Radio, it's the Hot Stove Society Show, 97.3 FM. It's the Hot Stove Society Show on Cairo Radio. Chef in the Chateau, how you doing out there?
I am doing beautiful. And you, Tom? How's your finger?
My finger is fine, and I'm thrilled to have Jennifer Shea on the show. She is a former alumni, not a former, she is an alumni of the Palace Kitchen a million years ago, and now has the very successful company called Trophy Cupcakes. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, hello, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Hello.
It's International Women's Week, and we are talking to women chefs about the positive and, if you want, any struggles that there are in our business that we are hoping to overcome. You certainly have overcome the struggles of opening a business and certainly have expanded it over the years. And how do you feel like your entry into owning your own business was?
Exciting and terrifying all at the same time. I mean, I think you have to be a little bit crazy to open your own food establishment, especially. I think that even more so now that I've been doing it for 14 years. Like, what was I thinking? It's tough, but if that's what you're passionate about, which I am, there's kind of no other choice, and the passion keeps you going.
Mm-hmm. How did you fund it? Did you go out and get investors? Because I know, at least I perceive your startup as just that. It's like a small micro startup, and it's turned into a much bigger business. But I feel like you went the small way.
Yeah, we definitely, my husband and I bootstrapped it for sure. We did have an investor who was a friend, that was just one of those kind of serendipity kind of things that I was, working for a band and had this dream of opening a cupcake shop and was always talking about it. And then, this friend said, you know, my other band is doing pretty well, and finance guys say that I should invest in something. So if you write a business plan, I'll be your startup person, which was amazing. It still took me another 4 years, I think, to figure out how to write that business plan.
Isn't that amazing?
In the end, yeah, in the end, he ended up, you know, funding us with enough to start up our little Wallingford shop. And, you know, funny that we're talking about this because 2 days ago, we figured out how to buy him out. So for the past 2 days, my husband and I have owned Trophy Cupcakes 100%. So
congratulations.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you.
Did it end up amicable? Was it a good relationship? Would you do it again?
Yeah, absolutely. He was pretty hands-off in the whole thing, which, you know, is nice from the business owner's standpoint. We didn't really ever have to answer to him for anything. He kind of just wanted to help us get started and was supportive the whole time. So, and you know, at that time, it's before my husband and I were married, I was a single girl with no assets. And honestly, when I went to the bank, I had a lot of guys in suits patting me on the head, telling me that's a really cute idea, but there's no way we're going to give you any money.
Mm-hmm.
So without that initial investment, I think, you know, we still would have gotten it off the ground somehow, but you know, having that friend's help was very instrumental in getting Trophy off the ground.
I feel the same way. I started with just but nothing and small and everything. So now you are the proud owner of five different locations. How do you feel about being the single owner of that?
I feel great about it. I mean, it's always a little bit scary, but there's been a lot of silver lining during COVID, even though it's been rough. But it really helped me get super clear on what I want for myself and for the business moving forward. So being 100% owner, especially through kind of all the blood, sweat, and tears of COVID and just regular business over the past 14 years, it feels amazing to now know that it's 100% ours.
Jennifer, what would you tell a young person that wanted to start their own business at this point, from a just kind of like an instructional process, like whether it's financing, whether it's a location, what would you tell somebody?
I'd say, don't do it. No, I'm just teasing. I mean, you guys both know it's being in a food business, especially, is a hard way to make a living. It really, I don't think that people understand how small the margins are and how many late nights and sleepless nights. And that's what I was saying earlier about being passionate. You know, if you don't have an extreme passion for food and, you know, the mission in our business is to help people, you know, basically to inspire celebration and bring joy through all of, you know, not only our sweets, but party supplies and inspiring people just to have fun and be kind to one another with sweets. So I would say you just have to really know that you're so passionate about starting whatever the business is that you can't imagine yourself doing anything else. Because if you don't have that kind of passion, I think that it is, I honestly think you just won't make it, because you guys right. both know it's a lot of sleepless nights. It's a lot of 18, 20 hour days. It's a lot of people calling in sick and you're washing dishes. And, you know, the passion has to be there.
It's the biggest driver of the whole thing.
Yeah.
I know just in this last year, you know, I shuck oysters on Saturdays and Sundays down in the Pike Place Market. I super love it. I have a passion for it. But I would rather do that and have it be successful than sit around playing golf even. That's one of my favorite sport, right? I have a passion for the business, and that's what I think that I see in you, Jennifer, is that you have And Terry, you have a passion for the business, and it's every part of it. It's not just because you can make a pretty cupcake or a delicious cupcake. It's because you know how to turn those cupcakes into rent dollars, into labor dollars, into, you know, good locations. And you have a passion for the whole process.
Exactly.
Anything special you're doing for Women's Week? Do we have a special cupcake to celebrate?
We brought back our Kamala cake on International Women's Day, and that one had an awesome picture of Kamala Harris, and it says, "I'm speaking," and little red, white, and blue sprinkles around the edges, of course.
Uh-huh.
So that's been really popular. And then, you know, of course, we're also gearing up for St. Patrick's Day. But yeah, the Kamala cakes have been really popular, and it's just fun to be able to do things like that.
It's such an exciting time to see her in the VP role. I just can't imagine what it feels like. I mean, I'd love to be VP. It seems like the least hard of the two jobs. And you also get all the pomp in the parade, and I'm sure it's difficult too. I'm not at all thinking that it's not difficult, but
yeah,
I would like to be in the middle of all that, what's going on right now. I think it'd be super fun. Well, thank you for joining us, Jennifer, and congratulations on all the successes that you've enjoyed at your trophy.
Yeah, congratulations.
Follow you on Instagram, Jennifer?
Our tag is at Trophy Cupcakes on all the platforms. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and see all the fun stuff we're doing for upcoming holidays and just everyday fun celebrations.
Perfect. All right. See you another
Thanks
day.
Thanks for having me.
All right.
All right.
Up next, Tamara Murphy is going to be here from Terra Plata Restaurant, also celebrating International Women's Week. On Cairo Radio, it's the Hot Stove Society Show, 97.3 FM. Welcome back. It's the Hot Stove Society Show on Cairo. My name is Tom Douglas.
And I'm Thierry Rotirol, the chef in the hat.
We are excited to have Tamara Murphy back on the show from Terra Plata Restaurant. And Tamara, I don't want to mispronounce. Your new restaurant name is Lamina?
Lamania. A little tilde over the N.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't. I wasn't going to say it right. How's your life, my dear?
Still kicking. Yep. life has been challenging, and as we all know, and interesting to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I'm just very grateful that I can sit up here on the roof today and see the sun. And I think that we're seeing some light at the end of this very dark and scary tunnel that we've been in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm grateful today.
You are doing so much good work. Tell us about the Food is Love Project, if you would.
Well, that's been going on since early February, I think, is when my partner, Linda DeLello, and a couple of community leaders, Marina Gray and Egan Orion, came together and decided that we needed to do something to get maybe perhaps cooked back to work and help the community as well. So this has been, Food is Love has just been an awesome project, and we have we probably have fed upwards of 75,000 meals so far, in our community, and so that continues. We want to continue it on as long as, kids, and families need it. Hopefully they'll be back into school soon. So far this has been, kind of the one meal that they can count on. So we're still doing that, and it's feeling really good that we can participate and give back to our community that way.
Yeah, you're such an inspiration. We have tried to follow your lead and your energy, and it's hard to keep up with you between the new restaurant, Food is Love, Terra Plata, just being one of the best places in our town to eat, and we're really proud of you, and congratulations on International Women's Week. You have led the way for so long.
Well, I guess just by default, when you've been in this, I think I've been in Seattle now for, cooking for 35 years. So, we call we're lifers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I've done this all my life, and, we've been through a lot, seen a lot, done a lot. And hopefully, you know, as I, you know, I am getting older, but I'm still in this kitchen every day almost, and which I'm grateful again that I can be. Mm-hmm. But I also want to be that person for other young chefs and other women, but all young chefs, you know, to be a mentor. I mean, that's important to me, a teacher, and give them encouragement. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
Attention.
Absolutely.
You won the James Beard Award in 95. Terry's won one. I've won one. There's so many opportunities out there now for women that there didn't used to be. When you won in 95, you must have been one of the first women to actually win the award.
Well, I was, and I think I was actually, if I'm not mistaken, the third person to win it, period, because it was pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's when the Pacific Northwest and Hawaii were together.
Right.
Right.
You know, but honestly, you know, the first accolade or the first competition that I participated in was the Bocuse d'Or when I was at Dominique's place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that I was definitely the only woman there. and certainly the youngest. And that was, you know, I think at Beachfield College in Illinois. But that was my first real insight into, at that time, definitely a man's world.
Yeah, funny how that is.
A lot has changed since then. A lot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tell us about...
It's a good thing.
Go ahead, Terry. Do you have a question for her?
No, I think it's a good thing that things have moved forward since then, because it was a men's world definitely in the 60s and 70s and 50s. And I'm glad that we have moved forward, because I have met a tremendous amount of women just like you, Tamara. You know, stronger than most men I've met. and definitely dedicated to the cause 100% and without changing. So congratulations to you, and you deserve all of it.
Well, thank you, Terry. You know, and you've been a part of, well, both you and Tom have been a part of my growth and my history here in Seattle, and I'm also grateful for you.
Well, Tamara, tell us about your new place, La Meña.
It is a Peruvian inspired restaurant. And what a lot of people don't know is that I spent quite a bit of time in South America as a kid. And it's really where my palate, where I decided that I really love food. You know, I loved all the big flavors and spice and heat. But it also is a very, you know, it's a very interesting cuisine, because it has a lot of Japanese and Chinese influences, which I know Seattle loves. And it's been just like Terra Plata. It's been a road. You know, we were about just a few weeks from announcing an opening party when, or at least putting a date on the calendar for people when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we decided that we had a much better runway here at Terra Plata, and we wanted to stabilize it. But we are getting excited. The restaurant is finished. It needs a few more touches inside. But we wanted to make sure that we could have indoor dining before we opened. Because, mm-hmm. as you know, the takeout model is not enough to sustain most full-service restaurants that are geared towards having people inside and look at, you know, the beautiful work and all of that. So We're getting excited. We're not ready to announce a date yet, but we're getting there, and I'm excited to do it.
You know, one of the things I was so thankful for you being able, and Linda, both being able to buy that building, is I think when you look at the restaurant business, and one of the ways to create wealth in the restaurant business is to actually own your own real estate. So I was excited when you told me that you guys were taking on that process of trying to buy the building.
Yeah, it was quite the process. And I mean, in any other time, we certainly, you know, we're grateful that we have a partner that helps us, that we have a nonprofit lender that helped us do this, and has been great through, they've just been awesome through all of this, because of course, as you can imagine, the challenges when you just buy a building and then then a pandemic hits and you can't open.
So not only do you have a new, you have a new debt, you have a new debt and no tenants. Wow.
Yeah. So be careful what you wish for, but we are extremely grateful, and we, you know, have every intention of just, you know, working hard and getting this new baby of ours open. That's, you know, but it definitely has its challenges as well, soon. Because of this pandemic.
Well, I believe with all the good things you are doing, karma will hit your way, and you will be very successful with it. How's that?
Thank you. I'll take that. We have tremendous support in this community, and we're really just very, very grateful for all of our friends and family and community who rally behind us every day.
Tamara, are you still doing paella nights on Monday nights up at Terra Plata?
We sure are.
Wow, I can't wait.
What's in that paella?
Well, we do two different kinds. And so right now we're running the marisco, which is all shellfish. And it has our spot shrimp and mussels and clam and scallop. And we usually do, we're running a fish corvino right now. So there's usually some sort of a fish fillet on top of that. And then we have the meat stove that has all of those things and chicken and chorizo. Saffron rice usually, and sometimes it's pudding rice. We're trying to get a little more creative with some of our paellas, but right now just sticking to the basics. Right.
Sounds like fun. I can't wait, Chef, for you to be able to get your vaccine and get out of the house, and then you and I can meet up on Monday night and go torture Tamara at Terra Plata.
Ooh, love to, with a good bottle of wine. Damn.
Come up to the rooftop. It's you know, we're also fully petitioned with the screens and you know, it's all open air up here and it's very warm.
Last time I was on the terrace, I picked my own herbs too.
Yep, in the garden, you know, the garden is even beautiful. We actually I had to do some scrambling. You know, the funniest thing, right, is that there were. This is another good thing that's happened, you know, with COVID. It's like people are eating outside when it's like freezing cold. So in January, I'm not used to people being up here, and the garden was like, oh my goodness. And so we did some quick work, and you know, even after it dumped all that snow, now that it's all melted off, I mean, everything looks just great up here. I am looking at little violas and. You know, all these little flowers popping up and all the mist, and I'm like, oh, spring is coming. Yay.
Absolutely. All right, you're going to stick with us for the Rub With Love Food for Thought Tasty Trivia Challenge. When we come back, it's Tamara Murphy, Chef Terry, and Tom on Cairo Radio. It's the Hot Stove Society Show, 97.3 FM. And we're back. It's the Hot Stove Society show on Cairo. The chef in the chapeau, are you ready to join in our tasty trivia challenge?
I am so ready, but I'm afraid because Chef Tamara Murphy is in the house.
Yes, she is. Chef Tamara Murphy from Terra Plata Restaurant is here. Chef Tamara, are you ready to be tested to the nth degree with our trivia challenge?
I am ready as I possibly could be, I think.
All right. This tasty trivia is brought to you by Rub With Love, handcrafted versatile rubs, sauces, and mustards that add a flavorful kick and a whole lot of love to just about any meat, fish, or vegetable dish. It's made by me. Look for Rub With Love products in your local grocery store or butcher shop, or find them online under at tomdouglas.com or numerous places. Amy, can you tell us how this game is played?
Yes, I'm going to ask each of you chefs five questions. Some of them are going to be multiple choice, some may not, and the loser is paying for shipping. And we are playing for Diane today, one of our Facebook Live listeners, who guessed what spirit animal you were last week, and it was a bear.
Oh, and it was a bear. They're so,
Diane,
tasty.
Yeah, we are playing for you. This episode, we are celebrating vegetables. We're going to do give away some vegetable rub, smoky barbecue, which is delicious on roasted potatoes. We're doing ginger pineapple teriyaki sauce for a spinach salad, and our Chinese 12 spice, where you can find Carol's famous rubber doodle recipe at TomDouglas.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
So much going on.
All right,
let's get started.
Thierry, you are up first.
Okay.
So in honor of Women's Week, we have a theme for our lovely women chefs. Okay,
oh, cool.
First question. Alice Waters is famous for using her organic and locally grown ingredients. What organization is Alice the founder of? A, Roots of Change, B, People's Grocery, C, The Cooking Project, or D, Edible Schoolyard?
Edible Schoolyard.
You are correct. All right, Thierry. Which James Beard award-winning chef is known as the godmother of grilled cheese? A, Stephanie Izzard, B, Nancy Silverton, or C, Kat Cora?
Nancy probably would have something to do with that, but I'm going to go with Kat Cora.
Oh, Nancy is correct.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been my first guess, but I kind of doubted that.
All right.
I know her bread. I know her. You know, she's so talented.
Yeah.
And glad to know she's known for that, but she has many more talents.
Many more. Okay, Rachel Ray has certainly made a media empire off the concept of quick and easy and inexpensive home meals. What show does she host? A, Pressure Cooker, B, Ace of Cakes, C, 30-Minute Meals, or D, Kitchen Accomplished?
I'm going to guess 30-Minute Meal.
You are correct. How tall was Julia Child? 6'4".
Very tall.
Oh, very
tall.
There we go.
There you win. That's a winner.
6'4", 5'10", 6'2", or 6 feet?
6'2".
6'4".
Oh. Holy smokes. I didn't realize that.
I have stood next to Julia many times, and she was tall because I'm a shorty, so she was definitely very tall, but oh, man, 6'4". Yow.
Okay. Last question. You are 2 out of 4 right now. Who was the first female chef to win a James Beard Award? A, Alice Waters, B, Judy Waters, or C, Joyce Goldstein?
Joyce Goldstein. Remember, she had Square One restaurant.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I remember Joyce. Absolutely. I'm still going to go with Alice Waters.
You are correct. Good job.
Yes.
3 out of 5, Thierry. All right, Tamara, you are up next. Are you ready?
Okay. Ready.
What year was the first International Women's Day? A, 1808, B, 1911, C, 1985, or D, 2008?
1985.
1911.
Oh,
sorry. Okay.
That's okay.
That's a hard one.
Yeah. Really? That long ago?
That long ago.
Wow, there was probably no progress done.
When did women get the vote? Wasn't that in the 20s?
We'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Chef Nigella Lawson almost broke the internet with her pronunciation of what common household kitchen appliance? Dishwasher, blender, microwave, or toaster oven?
What a goofy question.
You don't remember this?
I don't remember this.
I have no idea.
It was just recent.
None.
The correct answer is microwave. She pronounced it microwavy. It blew up the internet.
Oh my God.
Good for you.
Who has time to be looking, you know?
Amy obviously does.
Hey,
I want serious questions. I know all them.
All right, here's another Alice Waters. She is often seen as one of the pioneers of California cuisine. What food movement with the slogan good, clean, and fair does she advocate for? A, International Canners, C, Gray Label, or D, Slow Food?
Perfect.
Correct.
Yep.
Chef Joyce Chen specialized in Chinese cuisine in the U.S. and developed the first line of bottled Chinese stir fry. She also coined the name for Peking raviolis, which is a popular Chinese menu item.
Amy, that's Peking raviolis.
Peking raviolis for a popular Chinese menu item. What is that menu item?
These are hard. I wouldn't have a clue.
I have no idea.
Pot stickers.
Oh, pot stickers. Ah. Oh, so you could dump. Okay. All right.
Okay. Last question. You are 1 out of 4. You got this. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the name of Michelle Obama's cookbook? A, American Grown, B, Eat the Rainbow, or C, Michelle's Garden?
Michelle's Garden.
American Grown. I'm so sorry.
Oh, American Grown? Oh, okay. Yeah,
I like the way you treat our guest, Amy. That was good.
Wow.
All right, Terry, you are in the lead with 3 out of 5. Tom, you're up next. Chef Julia Child is one of our largest inspirations here at the Hot Stove Society. Yeah. What kind of flour has a variety named after Julia?
Flour as in the pastry flour, or flour as in a bouquet botanical. Of flowers, a botanical flower?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of flower? Let's say the rose.
You're correct. Yeah. It's called the Julia Child rose.
Yeah.
What do people in the UK call the Julia Child rose?
JC Rose.
The absolutely fabulous rose.
Hey.
Okay. Which iconic American chef is known as the Grand Dame of Southern cooking? You have done a class by this cookbook.
Elizabeth.
Southern cooking.
Well, she's from Atlanta. I'm trying to think of her last name, but and certainly not Paula Deen. So the Grand Dame of Southern cooking. It's not coming to me. Susan Spicer of Bayona.
Edna Lewis.
Edna Lewis. That's,
Edna Lewis. Yeah, yes, Edna Lewis.
Should have known that one.
Do you know how many cookbooks Edna Lewis wrote?
17.
4.
Okay.
Okay. You are 1 out of 4 right
now. That was your bonus question. You lost.
Queen of Creole cuisine, Chef Leah Chase, was the owner and chef of this New Orleans landmark restaurant.
Commander's Palace.
No.
No.
Dookie Chase.
Dookie Chase.
Okay, Terry, you are the winner, and let's see.
Let's see. I'm paying for rub and shipping again, if I'm not mistaken.
You are.
This is just
Diane.
Not any fun.
I'm quitting with you.
All right. You owe me $3.50.
Okay. I'm good for it. Barely.
Thank you, Tamara, for joining us. If you want to be part of the show, you can join the community on Facebook at Hot Stove Society Radio Show. You're listening to us on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. The show is produced by Amy Richardson, sound and production by Sean McFadden, and our editor is Sean, don't call me Del Torre. Remember, if you miss any episode of our Hot Stove Society show on Cairo, you can listen via podcast. Just subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend.